Thanks, Jewel. Beautifully done and very appropriate in light of Noah. He would appreciate that, even a line in that one song that's right out of his life. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, by faith Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, not all of your translations say that, in holy fear or reverence, built an ark to save his family, and by his faith he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. I believe that the problem in Noah's day and the problem in our day and the problem that goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve set aside Creator God and listen to counterfeit God, I believe you could summarize the problem of all three times that humans lack holy fear, reverential fear, respect for Creator God. And it could be a combination of reverence and respect and also, I think, a legitimate fear of Creator God when we disobey him. I believe there's an element of both. And when it came time for the writer of Hebrews to summarize these persons of faith, he said about Noah, when he was warned in holy fear, he obeyed and did what God wanted him to do. I believe Noah stands out as an amazing example of one man against the world. And it must have been a very lonely life during his time. In your notes, I put some references. The whole story, Genesis 5:28 through 9:17, is summarized in Hebrews in one verse when it zeroes in on the faith of this man. But the human condition on planet Earth at that time is summarized in Genesis 6 at verse 5. The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. That's a pretty negative picture of the human race, which by that time must have involved a lot of people. Verse 6 of Genesis 6, the Lord was grieved that he had made man on the earth, and his heart was filled with pain. You remember, we've talked in recent weeks how Creator God wants a relationship with humans. He wants us to walk with him and enjoy his presence. That's his goal. And by the time Noah comes along, the human race had thrown that all away and basically by life said, God, we don't want to walk with you and we do not want to enjoy your presence. And God was grieved and his heart was filled with pain. The purpose for which he created humans was being disrupted completely. Verse 7, Genesis 6, so the Lord said, I will wipe mankind whom I have created from the face of the earth, men and animals and creatures that move along the ground and birds of the air, for I am grieved that I have made them. If we need some added support of how bad things were, you can go to Matthew 24. And Jesus, in making a prophetic statement in Matthew 24:37, he said, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Now, the Son of Man hasn't come back yet, and we're anticipating that to take place. So Jesus is nearly 2,000 years ago, is describing what planet Earth will be like, what the human race will be like when the Lord comes back. And Matthew 24:38, for in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage up to the day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. And while there's a tremendous group of people on planet Earth today that are following Jesus and living in holy fear, the majority of the population on planet Earth today is described by those words of Jesus, and the majority of them are not living in holy fear. So the condition of planet Earth in Noah's time was pretty pathetic from God's point of view, and it was heartbreaking to him. So Noah comes along, and here's how he's described. In the midst of this mass of humanity that appears to care nothing about Creator God, Genesis 6 at verse 8, but Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. That's a statement that I want made about me and about each one of you and about those that are in God's camp, that God finds favor in our life. This is the account of Noah, Genesis 6, 9. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and here it is, walked with God. Not only did Enoch walk with God, but Noah walked with God, and I hope we're walking with God today as well. In the mass of humanity that was anti-anything holy, Noah walked with God. It's an amazing statement. And whether we're among many friends today or whether we're feeling very lonely, if it can be said of us from God's perspective, that person walked with God, then that's the greatest compliment we could have. It says he was blameless. Doesn't mean he was perfect. He was a human like the rest of us. We can all identify with him. But his heart and attitude towards God was right. The New Testament description of Noah, we've read the verse from Hebrews 11:7. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. And in 2 Peter chapter 2 at verse 5, Peter writes, if He, God, did not spare the ancient world when he brought the flood on its ungodly people, but protected Noah, a preacher of righteousness, and seven others with him. That's Peter's definition, his recollection, by the Spirit of God of Noah. He's a preacher of righteousness. Pretty amazing statement. So you get the picture that in this mass of humanity, Noah stands out, one against the world, as one who wants to believe God and do life God's way. And so, as I typically do when I get going on a study like this, my imagination usually goes a little crazy. So I want you to go on a little journey with me. And much of what I'm going to say is not recorded in the Bible. It may or may not be true. Carol's shaking her head. She's wondering where he's going. And let me just describe a little bit of what I think it might have been like for Noah to be one man against the world at that time. One man fearing God in a holy attitude among thousands, I'm sure, of people who were disregarding anything about Creator God. It says that Noah found favor. Talk about a lonely life. Have you ever felt lonely? Have you ever been in a place where you felt like you were the only one in a group that really cared about God? It's a lonely spot to be in. Maybe you were even with a group of believers, followers of Jesus. But the attitude and the discussion seemed to be less than what would be described as holy fear. And you felt alone. You felt outnumbered. You felt like you were kind of isolated. You felt like you had a perspective that maybe they didn't have. Well, talk about a lonely life. Noah understood that. We don't know what Mrs. Noah, and that's all I know to tell her because it, to call her because it just refers to Noah's wife. And it names his sons. It does not name their wives. And we don't know what Mrs. Noah, how she felt about this whole thing. I want to give her all the benefit of the doubt. I want to believe that Mrs. Noah, though she probably wondered where Noah was getting all his information, and while she probably didn't understand an awful lot of what was going on, I'm going to believe that Mrs. Noah was supportive of him, and that they probably had conversations like this. Noah, do you, you know, I had tea with my friends this afternoon, and I need to tell you that the ladies in our area think you're the craziest guy on planet Earth. And I felt kind of lonely, but I supported you. And what I said was, you know, I don't understand a lot of it either, but I think the man walks with God, and I have to give him the benefit of the doubt, and I'm with him. He's not forcing me. I'm with him. And the children in that home, and their wives, but those kids as they were growing up, what must it feel like to have a dad who's doing something that seems completely off the charts of anything that makes any sense? And so I can see them coming home from school and say, "Dad, you know what? We got made fun of today. The kids in our school think you just lost it. That you don't know anything that's going on. You're out there banging away on that boat that you're building, and you're preaching that there's a flood coming, and we don't know what a flood is. We don't know what anything is. Dad, what's this all about?" I mean, surely Noah at times must have felt like he was the only person who knew anything about God. And you know what? He kind of was. But he walked with God, and he had holy fear. And then the account says that God says, "I'm going to destroy all the people." And surely Noah had some friends in that group. I have some friends that I care a lot about. And if they died today, they wouldn't go to heaven. They'd go to hell. And that makes me very sad. But they're my friends. We talk. We visit. We do life together. Surely Noah had a group of friends that were a part of his life. And they must have kind of shunned him. They must have, you know, maybe he hired him to help build the boat and say they were glad to take his money and snickered when they stopped for lunch and hoped he wasn't around when they were talking about him. Noah was a lonely man. Noah was one man, I think, in a world that didn't understand what he was doing. And then God said, "Make yourself an ark." Hey, God, make a what? Make a what? An ark? Make a boat? Why would I need a boat? And a boat that size? And you say it's going to float around for a while? How? There's no water around here. This kind of thing has never happened. And then all those animals, collect all those animals? Really? How would I do that? How am I going to round them up? And my imagination says that Noah probably didn't round up any animals. I think when it came time to get... Remember, this is not in the Bible. It's me. I think when it came time to load that ark, that boat, I think all of a sudden Noah looked up and here they came, marching from all around the area. And those animals that were be guided by the Spirit of God just walked right up the gangplank and right into the boat, you know, and went to their place. Don't you think that's possible? If Noah's story is possible, if it's a true story, then anything is possible in this miraculous thing that God did. And all that food, he says, take enough food for all of them. What kind of an assignment was that? Noah did everything as God commanded him, and that statement is mentioned several times. Noah walked with God. Noah had a holy respect for God and an appropriate fear for God, and therefore Noah obeyed God. He carried out the plan the way God told him to do it. And let's face it, without a lot of information and basically with no history to tell him of what was really happening, because nothing like this had ever happened before in anyone's life. And then the Lord shut him in. That's a direct quote. The Lord shut the door. I wonder how that felt. You know, this week when we Carol and I were on airplanes, and you get loaded in this cramped up place, and it's hot in there, and eventually you get a little air, and people are shuffling all over the place, and they're almost walking on each other to get those little spots to put their luggage and stuff overhead. And finally it all kind of settles down, and then you hear that clunk and the door shuts. And it goes through my mind, and probably because I was thinking a little bit about this sermon, quite a bit about this sermon, and you can't get out after that. I guess the only way you could get out is if you do something that gets you in trouble and they throw you off, or you have a medical thing. You're closed in. And here's Noah after all these years building this thing, and finally it's all loaded and everything is in place, And then God shut the door. God's the one that locked him in there. There's no way to get out. That little window up there wouldn't let anybody out. Wonder what that felt like. And he's thinking, how long am I going to be here? Did he have any idea that it would be 5 months of floating around out there? God shut him in. And I love that. Because if Noah had pulled the door shut, then maybe he'd have panicked and shoved it back open again. Because I can't believe that it was wonderful being on the ark. But you can let your imagination go with that one. 40 days and nights of rain. The floodgates opened. A whole new experience for planet Earth. 150 days of flooding before it finally concluded. 5 months. That's a long time. You know, Carol and I were privileged to go on a cruise a few years ago. And after 7 days on that ship, I had all I wanted. She's never been able to talk me into doing it since. It was fun. But you're so captured. And you're just locked up on this ship out in the middle of the water with all these people. And it goes through my mind of those cruises when everything goes wrong on the ship. And I don't ever want to do it again. I'm sorry. I really don't. And then the start over process, the plan and what it was all about. And then so that Noah would have confidence and hope when he finally gets off of the ship and everything is going to be normal. And then God gives him the rainbow and he says, Noah, I'll never do a thing like this on planet Earth again. And today when we see that beautiful rainbow in the sky, we remember that God made a promise that he wouldn't destroy the earth again with a flood. I think Noah was one man standing against the world, and I don't think it was an easy experience. A few lessons. God is determined to have a relationship with humans. We need to focus on that. It's coming up over and over in these statements, this review of these people of faith. God wants a relationship with humans. That's why he picked you to be in his family. That's why Jesus went to the cross and took our sin and died in our place and rose again to be our Savior, our Redeemer, because God wants to have a relationship with us. He wants us to walk with him and enjoy his presence. The creator of the universe desires to have a relationship with humans and to walk with us and to enjoy that relationship and have us enjoy his presence. That was his goal when he made Adam and Eve, and that's his goal today. And if you're a child of God and you know Jesus as your Savior, the reason you are still on planet Earth is the same reason I'm still on planet Earth, is to tell Jesus' story, to tell the story of the Bible, to tell the story of the Creator, to tell the story of redemption, and to help people realize that God loves them and wants each of us to be a part of his family, to have a relationship with him, to walk with him, and to enjoy his presence. He's determined to do that, and he's doing that today. Secondly, if you think God is asking too much of you, remember Noah. I don't know of any human that doesn't, on occasion, if we allow ourselves to do it, maybe some more often than others, have some moments when we feel sorry for ourselves, when we feel a little lonely, when we feel like life just isn't as fair as it ought to be, when we feel like God just isn't maybe looking out for us the way we think he should, when we think that he's really not fulfilling our wishes like we thought he promised. Most humans struggle a little bit with loneliness and feeling like the burden of life is just a little too heavy. If you've never experienced that, then wonderful, but I think most of us will agree that we have those times. And that's a good time to think about Noah. If you think God is asking too much from you, remember Noah. Because other than when Jesus was hanging on that cross, rejected by basically everybody, and even God turned his back on him for a period of time because he couldn't look on sin, that has to be the most lonely picture, the most lonely person that the world has ever known. But close to that, I think, might have been Noah, not for the same reason, but the loneliness. I believe Noah must have been one of the most lonely men that ever walked on planet Earth, who was as human as you and I are. And he did that for over 100 years as he built that ark and as he obeyed God. You know, whatever people were saying to him, they obviously didn't believe his message. Or when that ark was finished and it was being loaded, they would have run and begged to get on that thing. Noah and his wife, the three boys, and each of them had a wife, are the only humans that were on that boat when the flood took everybody else out. If you think God is asking too much from you, remember Noah. You'll be encouraged. And then I think one other lesson is we better not play sin games with Creator God. The human race at the time of Noah was playing a sin game. Jesus, we read it, describes humanity at the time of Noah as playing a sin game. A game that said, God, we don't need you. We don't want you. We'll do life our way. And I'm fearful that the majority, not all, thank God for the minority, but the majority of people on planet Earth today are playing sin games. And this gets close to home because even followers of Jesus who are locked in and secure in the family of God can play sin games, dabble around with sin in thoughts, in attitudes, and in actions. And God doesn't approve of that, and God brings judgment on that. And if we know Jesus is our Savior and we're playing the sin game, he won't throw us away out of his family, but we'll sure be useless to him, and he might just take us home early if we're doing more harm than we are good to his cause. The story of Noah reminds me that it's stupid to play the sin game, to live a life of holiness and purity, a life of holy fear, holy respect, and continual appreciation of the loving God and the grace that he shows. Father, I have a feeling that there's some folks in this chapel today who feel a little lonely, maybe feeling a little almost forgotten, maybe even wondering if our life is effective and useful to you, wondering why we're still here. How I pray that the story of Noah, faithful, alone in a world that had turned aside from you, I pray that his example, his faith, his trust, his holy fear of the Creator will encourage us and remind us to be faithful and to be able to do the job that you've left us on planet Earth to do. And dear God, for the person that's here today that has never trusted you, would you just give them the faith to believe that Jesus is the Savior, he's truly God himself, and that they'd be able to say with their mouth and believe in their heart, Jesus is my Savior, my God. I'm reminded of the statement that says one person with God is a majority. That's the story of Noah, and that can be the story of our life today. So thank you for the reminder of the faith of a man who trusted you when there was every human reason to believe that he was wrong. But he was right because he followed what you told him to do. Help us to do that today, I pray. And we'll give you all the thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.